climbed to more than 18% from 13% a year ago. Business Week reports those most affected are recent college graduates and those just starting their careers. The recession has caused companies to cut back on new hiring, and that means fewer entry-level jobs. Experts say the problem isn't just in the U.S., but in other developed nations as well, including Japan and Great Britain. Mark Thomas, IRN, USA Radio News.
Autopsies have been carried out on three runners who collapsed and died during Sunday's Detroit Free Press Flagstar Marathon. Officials with the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office says more tests will be needed in order to determine their cause of death. The three men died within minutes of one another as they competed in the race Sunday. The Census Bureau is expecting less people to return census forms during the next headcount. Bureau officials say the growing mistrust of the government, rising identity theft, and record numbers of foreclosures could discourage people from mailing back the forms. They say an expected 3% drop in return forms could translate into an additional 4 million more homes for census workers to visit in person. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Paul Ray, and we're going to be talking about his book on Montesquieu. And, of course, it is a fascinating insight into one of the men who helped to shape the world in which we live today. Cindy, if you're going to talk about the American Constitution and why it is unique and different, you want to talk about John Locke, you want to talk about Blackstone, and you want to talk about Montesquieu. Now, these are things that ought to be taught in all of our schools. They're not taught in our schools, and that's why we're very fortunate to have Dr. Ray with us today. Thank you very much for being with us.
How are you? Good to see you again.
I'm doing just fine, and thank you for being with us to discuss one of the primary philosophers who led to the foundation of our republic. Not a democracy, but a republic, and that was Montesquieu. So you pick up the story. Why did you write the book? And, of course, what do you hope to accomplish with it?
I wrote a book some years ago called Republics Ancient and Modern. It's still in print in three volumes. And one of the reviews, written by someone I came to know well and respect, was very favorable to the book as a whole, but it said, given that I was writing about the whole history of republicanism, I really should have had a chapter on Montesquieu, who is the major figure who addressed this question. And so in the wake of publishing that book, I began to reread Montesquieu with care, and I began to discover things, and it got to be very exciting. Let me say a little bit about him. He was born in January 1689 in France, in Bordeaux, into an aristocratic family that had properties on which grapes were grown and which produced wine. There's still a wine called Montesquieu. He grew up in the shadow of the Glorious Revolution, under Louis XIV of France, the Sun King, at a time when France was struggling in order to take control of Spain and the Spanish Empire in the New World. And this had to do with dynastic questions and inheritance. The rest of Europe was struggling to prevent France from getting control of Spain because they feared what they called universal monarchy. That is to say, a country in Europe that could completely dominate Europe because it had so much wealth and so much power. The English and the Dutch joined with the Habsburgs of Austria, and they fought two long wars with Louis XIV, one in the 1690s and the other from 1701 to 1713. Montesquieu grew up during these two wars, and in particular, he came of age during the Second War. And on the 15th of August, 1704, John Churchill, then the Earl, soon to be the Duke of Marlborough, this is the ancestor of Winston, defeated the French at the Battle of Blenheim and annihilated their army and captured their commander. This had not happened to the French in 150 years, so it was a shock. Everybody presumed that it was an accident, an anomaly. But then between the date when Montesquieu was 15 and the date when he was 20, between 1706 and 1709, John Churchill did the same thing to the French armies three more times in pretty much the same way. And what Montesquieu's generation, which included Voltaire, recognized was that there had been a major shift in politics in Europe. And both Voltaire and Montesquieu did something which well-educated Frenchmen did not do prior to their time. They visited England and learned English. Louis XIV once met with the English ambassador, and he said about the country that had produced Shakespeare and Milton, he asked, "Do you have any poets that are well-known?" In other words, Louis XIV, who was one of the best educated men in Europe, knew absolutely nothing about English culture. No one took England seriously. But after the Duke of Marlborough annihilated French armies four times, people took England seriously. And well-bred, well-brought-up young Frenchmen learned English and thought they had to study England. Voltaire came back and wrote the Philosophical Letters. Montesquieu came back from his visit to England, which was almost exactly 100 years before Alexis de Tocqueville came to America. He came back from his visit to England, and he essentially said, "I have seen the future, and it works," which is what Tocqueville said, more or less, when he came back from visiting the United States.
But, of course, wasn't that a lot of that based upon the British culture and the British form of parliamentary democracy?
Yes, and Montesquieu wrote extensively about that. Especially, he began writing about it in the 1630s, but he didn't dare publish it because it would be seen as an attack on the government of France. Eventually, he managed to publish it, hiding it in a very large book called The Spirit of Laws. The two longest chapters have to do with England, first the English Constitution, and then the manner in which it shapes the mores, manners, and national character of the English. And he was interested in a particular question, a number of different questions, but they all ended up leading him back to England. First, could a commercial polity defeat a martial polity? Rome had defeated Carthage. Could a modern Carthage defeat a modern Rome? And England had. And the question is, what had changed enabling a modern Carthage based upon commerce to defeat a modern French Rome? And he came up with two answers. The first he borrowed from Machiavelli. And he argued Christianity meant that a conquering state in Europe, conquering another Christian state, could not enslave the population and sell them, and could not take their land and their property. That's the way Rome had financed its wars. And so in modern Europe, because you couldn't finance wars in that way, in attempting to conquer large amounts of territory, you drove yourself into bankruptcy. So you couldn't finance wars of conquest in Europe any longer. That's the first thing. The second thing is he studied the history of commerce, and he became persuaded that because of technological changes like the compass and technological changes that had to do with the kind of ships that were sailed and their ability to roam far from the shore, commerce had grown and grown and had gone through what he called revolutions until it became more and more a dominant force. Furthermore, technological changes had altered the character of war, the firearms in particular, and money had become the sinews of war. So projecting power depended upon finance, finance depended upon commerce, and so a small country like Holland could project power despite its small size because of the commercial role that it played, and of course England could do the same. That was the first thing. The second thing is he was concerned with liberty. Despotism ruled out liberty. Under monarchies, you had a kind of facsimile of liberty because the judicial power was independent, and there was a species of spirit of liberty in European monarchies, such as France. But he also saw that monarchies were drifting in the direction of despotism, as had happened in Spain and Portugal, and was clearly happening in France under Louis XIV. So his second concern focused on the fact that England was a polity devoted to, it had as its object, liberty. And so the question is, how do you sustain liberty? And that was something he discovered very, very important to the American founding fathers.
All right, well, why don't you just hold on that until we get back. But I guess it's Dr. Paul Ray. We're talking about really the foundations of our freedom. If you don't understand Montesquieu, you can't understand the Constitution. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888- 888- 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And certainly our guest today is Dr. Paul Ray, and we're discussing Montesquieu. And these people say, well, but that was a long time ago. Well, they created our Constitution a long time ago. It is the very foundation of our freedom, and you cannot understand why we are not a democracy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard me right. We are not a democracy, and all the people telling you we are a democracy are simply lying to you. We are a republic, because Montesquieu recognized the difference between a republic under law and a democracy under man. So you picked up the story there, please.
When Montesquieu focused on England, the big question he wanted to ask is this. He thought of England as a republic disguised as a monarchy. And it was a republic in effect after 1689 because Parliament kept the king on short rations. He had to call it every year, and he had to come begging to it. And, of course, they exacted a price. They would give him the money he needed for his wars on condition that he focus himself on issues that they cared about. So it was Parliament that really ran the show, and Montesquieu understood that. The question is, he asked himself, is how is it that this particular republic disguised as a monarchy works? Because he was persuaded, and he had lots of evidence in his favor, that monarchies were suited to small territories. Athens was on a small territory. Sparta was on a small territory. Thebes was on a small territory. Argos was on a small territory. And early Rome was on a small territory. And when Rome conquered a much larger territory, it gradually ceased to be a republic. He was persuaded that governments on large territories are in effect invisible because the population is at a great distance from the capital, at a great distance from the center. And when rulers are at a distance from the people over whom they rule, rulers are in a position to act arbitrarily, and they will do so. So he argued in The Spirit of Laws, in the early books of it, that one of the most important things to understand is the relationship between the size of a territory and the form of the government. Republics were suited to small territories, monarchies to more extended territories like Spain and France, and despotisms to very large territories like the Ottoman Empire or China. So the question was, how is it that England was able to function? And not just England, but how was it that Holland was able to maintain a republic? And he suggested that there's one way, one obvious way, in which in a world in which monarchies and despotisms can direct large resources to war, there's a way in which small polities like republics can sustain themselves. And the first way is federalism. And that's the way the Dutch Republic did it. The Dutch Republic was essentially a series of city-states with rural territories around them bound together under a common government that functioned primarily with regard to foreign affairs. And he offered that as one way of doing it. And then when he came to England, he was silent about the question of the extension of territory. And Montesquieu tells us that silence sometimes expresses more than any discourse. So his silences are highly meaningful. And, of course, England did have an extended territory. So how did they do it without descending into despotism or monarchical control? And the answer is the separation of powers between the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. By the time Montesquieu went to England, the judiciary was independent. They served during good behavior. The legislature was divided between the House of Commons and the House of Lords, and it directed affairs to a considerable degree, and the executive power was concentrated in the hands of the king. That division meant that the king watched over Parliament, and if Parliament went astray, he could call new elections. Parliament watched over the king, and if the king went astray, they could force him out as James II had been forced out. So a division of powers along functional lines provided for liberty, even though there was a large territory. Now, the importance of this for the American Founding Fathers should be obvious. They adopted both of these expedients. They adopted federalism, as we know. But they also adopted the separation of powers, both at the state level and at the national level, and they structured the American government in such a way that federalism and the separation of powers reinforced one another. That is to say that the states had an agency within the federal government because the state legislatures elected the United States Senate. The consequence of that was that there was one more check on abuse at the center. So the Americans paid very close attention to Montesquieu and learned an immense amount from him.
But don't you think a lot of this was this whole idea that you would limit the power of the central government to foreign affairs and a few other things, but it was not to be the dominant force. It was certainly here in the United States. There was to be the states who were to deal with matters of life, liberty, and property, not the central government. And then in the states, they were to have this separation of power so that they could not be so powerful. They would tend to to control the populace. It was this limitation of the power, both at the federal and the state level, that really led to the freedom we initially involved. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I think that's right. The federal government was a government of limited purposes. It was a real government, however. That is to say, there were direct elections to it by the people, at least in the House of Representatives. And it was meant to oversee commerce between the states, to prevent them from putting up tariffs as obstacles to commerce between the states. It was meant to provide for national defense, and it was meant to guarantee that every state had a Republican government. So it was a government of limited purposes, but the crucial thing is you could trust the power to that government for that limited purpose because the states had a check on the federal government and because the federal government had a separation of powers. And Montesquieu is the inspiration for both dimensions of this. Now, there's a third aspect of Montesquieu's thinking that is, I think, pertinent to current concerns, but also pertinent to the concerns of the American Founding Fathers. The subtitle of my book, Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty, I have the longest subtitle since Montesquieu published The Spirit of Laws, and it's largely borrowed from his subtitle to The Spirit of Laws. It reads, War, Religion, Commerce, Climate, Terrain, Technology, Uneasiness of Mind, the Spirit of Political Vigilance, and the Foundations of the Modern Republic. The other element in Montesquieu's thinking that I think is very pertinent to the American concerns is this business of uneasiness of mind and the spirit of political vigilance. Montesquieu, when he visited England, noticed a number of things about England. And I'll come to those after your break.
All right, fine. Of course, our guest then is Dr. Paul Rabe. And we're talking about his book, Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty. And basically, it's so vitally important that people understand these basic principles. Limit the power of the government. The states would have control, at least in part, over the federal government.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681. For your DigiNet Spy products today, because video never lies. If you've got mold, you've got a problem. But if you have Moldzyme, you have a solution. Everyone at one time or another will encounter mold in their homes. It's unsightly and can affect your health. Moldzyme from EcoDiscoveries is the only safe and effective solution for cleaning mold and mildew and eliminating odor. Moldzyme is safe for any surface. Wood, concrete, tile, stucco, wallpaper, vinyl, or aluminum siding, painted surfaces, and more both inside and outside your home.
I use Moldzyme in my bathroom, basement, garage, and deck. Everywhere I see mold, it's magic in a bottle.
Moldzyme is non-toxic, safe for the environment, your family, pets, and plants, contains no chlorine bleach, ammonia, or nasty smell. Plus, it's easy to order. Call toll-free 866-767-2832 or go to moldzyme.com. That's 866-767-2832 or moldzyme.com. That's moldzyme.com. Use promo code RADIO for 25% off your order from Eco Discoveries. Moldzyme, now safe, has an effective side.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Stand back here. Certainly our guest is Dr. Paul Ray. We're talking about his book, Montesquieu and the Logic of the Law. And certainly, would you like to tell our listeners about your website and how they can get copies of your book?
Sure, sure. My website, my name is Paul Rahe, and it's spelled R-A-H-E, so it's a bit unusual. And my website is www.paulaarahe.com. And if you Google my name, you'll come up with Hillsdale College, and right after Hillsdale College, you'll find my website. And on that website, it lists Republics Ancient and Modern, my three-volume study of the origins of American government, and Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift, which I published in April, which has much to do with the current crisis in the United States, and Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty, where I lay the foundations for that. If you don't want to go to the website, go directly to Amazon or go to your bookstore and order it. The most recent books, Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty and Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift, are published by Yale University Press and are easily available. I noticed on the Amazon website today they've only got one left, but they say they've already ordered more, so there'll be more coming. Let me go back to this question of the other concern of Montesquieu, uneasiness and political vigilance. When he looked at the English, a couple of things struck him. First, they were a commercial people. Second, they practiced religious toleration, and though there wasn't a full separation of church and state there, there was something that foreshadowed it. And third, of course, they had parliamentary government. But the other thing he noticed about them is that this whole set of arrangements that they'd have established left them uneasy. They were in the grips of inquietude. And what he meant by that was that in commercial societies, in societies that don't have a civil religion at the center of things, in societies that leave people alone and don't try to shape character very much, people are often a bit at sea because they have to construct their own lives. They have to construct their own beliefs. Nobody's there to tell them what to believe or how to live their lives. And it's a psychological burden. So the English, he found, had an unquiet spirit, an esprit inquiet. They were in the grips of inquietude or uneasiness or anxiety, fear without a certain object, he said. They had so many reasons for being happy, but they weren't all that happy. They lacked tranquility of spirit. And it worried him a bit, but he noticed that the separation of powers took that uneasiness and gave it a shape that was conducive to liberty. Some people attached themselves to the executive, others to the legislature. There were what were called court parties and country parties in Great Britain. And the tension between the two contributed to liberty. And those attached to the court party were suspicious of Parliament, and those attached to the country party were suspicious of the monarchy. And the effect was an unreasoning jealousy, an unreasoning vigilance, that though it was unreasoning, was not unreasonable. And so they kept a close watch on the politicians, and one of the things that contributed to liberty is they did not trust the people who governed them. They watched them like hawks, and at election time, they fairly frequently threw them out.
And I think that is really so fundamental to what happened in America, and this distrust of government is seminal to an understanding of why the American people, at least for many years, were free. But go right ahead.
And I've been reading some chapters in a book as yet unpublished, written by a former student of mine on Thomas Jefferson, and it's remarkable the degree to which Thomas Jefferson's willingness to trust in republicanism in the United States is based upon the spirit of the American people. And that spirit was a spirit of vigilance and a spirit of political jealousy. In the sequel to Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty, Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift, I show how Tocqueville takes up this same theme of inquietude, which he finds that the Americans are possessed by to some degree, but French people in the 19th century even more so. And he was fearful that inquietude would give rise to a kind of desperate desire for security that would lead to a concentration of power in a central government that would replace God and act in under the cover of being a new providence, promising to people a security that really couldn't provide, and exploiting their insecurities to expand and expand and become more and more intrusive. He thought the Americans, would avoid this fate. He worried about the French because the Americans had local self-government at the municipal level and the county level, local self-government at the state level, and a very modest government in the center that didn't have the administrative capacity to extend its powers into every little corner of the American Republic. Also, through participation in local government, they learned civic agency to deal with problems themselves, and they also learned the art of association, that was his phrase, for their ability to form private organizations for public purposes, charities, to build hospitals, to build schools, to build roads, to take care of the poor. They were self-reliant, and that self-reliance meant that they had a kind of confidence that was contrary to the spirit of inquietude, the spirit of uneasiness that Montesquieu had described, and that Tocqueville found among the French in his own day. They also believed in God, and this gave them a moral confidence, a confidence about what was right and wrong, a confidence about their own dignity that also sustained them against encroachments on their liberty. And they had strong families, which also gave them a further confidence. They didn't go home and face inquietude. Montesquieu in his Persian letters had written that a Frenchman does not like to speak with another man about his wife because he's afraid the other man might know her better than he does. The French were notorious for adultery, but the Americans weren't. It was most unusual in the United States, and their strong families gave them a kind of sense of confidence. The friendship between husband and wife, the support of their children, the support of their neighbors and of their siblings and so forth, these were things that sustained them against the spirit of uneasiness that seemed to typify liberal commercial democracies. So Tocqueville, following up upon Montesquieu, had great hope that the United States, which embodied many of the institutions that the English had, but had its own institutions that were an improvement upon English institutions, might be able to sustain republicanism on an extended territory.
But don't you really think that the difference in the attitude of the people and the fact that they were not uneasy was the fact that there was a strong Protestant religious belief among the people?
Yes.
Men, people who depended upon God, who looked to God, who felt that they were, you know, answerable to God. There was a fear of God within the people, but it was also a trust in God if they were faithful. And that is what kept the families together. And that really is what separated, you know, America from what was going on in Europe or even in England. It was a sense of Christian responsibility to take care of your fellow men, but not through the structure of government, or at least not anything more than the local government, where, of course, in other countries, it was always what the government had to take care of the needy, and then, of course, it was expanded, whereas here, it was a personal responsibility, it was an obligation, because, of course, our country was built upon moral and religious principles.
Absolutely, and in that book, Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift, I bring the story to the present day, because it seems to me that in the course of the 20th century, we lost many of those institutions and habits and practices that sustained liberty in the 19th century and that Tocqueville identified. Our local governments came more and more under the control of the central government, which because of the 16th Amendment passed in 1913 is able to raise income taxes and bribe the local governments to do anything it wants them to do.
But even more than that, the 17th Amendment took away the state's influence in Washington, D.C., and now you had direct election of senators so that the highest bidder could buy the senators, and they were not answerable to the states. We'll be right back in just a moment with Dr. Paul Ray, an important discussion.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
If you're tired of paying too much for gas, diesel, or heating oil, Future Fuel Technologies has the answer you're looking for. It's called FFT Fuel Saver. FFT Fuel Saver is made using a patented formula that helps fuel burn cleaner, resulting in a 10 to 20% increase in fuel efficiency and reduces emissions 30% or more. Each bottle of FFT Fuel Saver will save you money, increase your MPG, improve engine performance, and will treat up to 160 gallons of fuel. When used in your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat, you will feel the results in 20 miles or less. FFT Fuel Saver is registered with the EPA, the Better Business Bureau, is made in the USA, and comes with a money-back guarantee. To start saving money now, visit FutureFuelTechnologies.com. That's FutureFuelTechnologies.com. Or call 1-888-961-6600. That's 1-888-961-6600. FFT, simply the best fuel saver on earth.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
When you're ready to purify your family's drinking water
and save money,
when you're ready to remove contaminants like chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, pharmaceutical drugs, and even iron and rust from your water
and save money,
when you're ready to enjoy crisp, clean water
and save money,
go to purewaterfreedom.com.
How much will you save at purewaterfreedom.com?
Our competition sells fluoride filters between $150 and $200. Our price, $99. They sell reverse osmosis systems for $600. Our under-sink reverse osmosis system is only $249. PureWaterFreedom.com offers state-of-the-art water filters for every application for home or office, and our whole-house fluoride water filters include a 10-year warranty and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get details today at PureWaterFreedom.com or speak to a water purification specialist by calling 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Now the best filtered water in the world comes at the best price at PureWaterFreedom.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. This is the last segment of our program. But people have to understand the foundations of our freedom. And certainly, two of the most disastrous things ever to happen to the United States were the 16th and the 17th Amendment. The 16th Amendment gave the federal government the ability to raise money so they could fight wars and extend the empire, the American empire, and advance the goals of those who wanted America to dominate the world. And the 17th Amendment took away the limiting power of the state governments. And now, of course, the federal government or the people who were able to purchase the support of the senators by funding their campaigns and, of course, using the media to get them elected, were now able then to have their people in Washington, D.C. to go along with their agenda. So you pick the story up there.
Well, those two decisions opened the door For the takeover of the American economy during World War One, which was a dry run for the New Deal, there was pushback at the end of World War One with the election of William G. Harding and then Calvin Coolidge. But with the coming of the Great Depression, which was caused largely by Woodrow Wilson's Reserve Board and an easy money policy through the 20s and then a sudden end to the easy money policy, with the beginning of the Great Depression, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a great admirer of Woodrow Wilson, saw an opportunity, and he seized it. And Herbert Hoover, who was a progressive, whose views were not all that different from those of Roosevelt and Wilson, gave him that opportunity by cutting off international trade with the Smoot-Hawley tariff, by raising taxes in the middle of the Depression. And when Roosevelt took over, unemployment was 25%. It never went below 15% during the New Deal. The New Deal did not bring the Depression to an end. It extended it. But people blamed Herbert Hoover, just as the Obama administration is hoping people will blame George W. Bush for the current situation. And he certainly bears some blame. But if it extends, it won't be his fault any more than it was Herbert Hoover's fault that in 1941, 8 years after Franklin Delano Roosevelt came to power, unemployment was still 15%. Roosevelt took this as an opportunity to extend the power of the federal government over the American economy in ways that were unthinkable prior to that time. Something similar happened on a larger scale under Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Great Society. Richard Nixon collaborated with that effort, extending the Great Society, founding the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, and so forth. And what this resulted in is administrative agencies that combined within their own doors the executive, legislative, and judicial powers, which Montesquieu described as the very emblem of despotism. So the consequence is that no one is responsible for the accountable to the American people for the decisions of the Environmental Protection Agency. It issues regulations that are not voted on by Congress. You can throw Congress out, and it won't change anything. You can throw the president out, and it won't change anything. And there's a greater and greater concentration of power in Washington as a consequence of these efforts. And every problem that arises is treated as if it is a great emergency and a great crisis that means we have to concentrate yet more power in Washington. And by now, Washington controls local government. They provide them with funds, and with these funds come strings, which means that they have to dance to the tune of the federal drummer. And so if you serve on a city council or you serve on a school board, you spend a great deal of your time conforming to federal regulations that you wouldn't be subject to if you didn't take federal money. But if you don't take that federal money, you don't have that money. And so money is taken out of the pockets of the American people through the income tax. With that money goes the power that the federal government then exerts over local government, the governments that people have some sort of access to. And steadily what happens is the government in Washington becomes self-directed, because by means of patronage it can guarantee re-election, it can manipulate politics nationally. James Madison in the 1790s revisited the question whether you can establish a republic on an extended territory, in other words, Montesquieu's question. And he came to have some doubts, not severe, overwhelming doubts, but he feared that if Alexander Hamilton succeeded with his program of concentrating certain kinds of financial powers in the hands of the federal government would grow and grow in this fashion. The federal legislature would take over the running of localities and prove incompetent at it and pass most of the responsibilities to the executive at the federal level. That's exactly what has been done. And the consequence is we have a government that is to an increasing degree self-directed. There's still hope, however. And the reason there is hope is that Barack Obama is a gift to the American people because he has awakened them to the slow drift towards despotism that I chart in Montesquieu and the Logic of Liberty and in Soft Despotism, Democracy's Drift, by trying to move very rapidly in the direction of taking over large hunks of the American economy. He has awakened the American people, and that was clear with the Tea Parties. And the Tea Parties have put a little bit of steel into the spine of the Republican Party. And if we're lucky, those Tea Parties will overwhelm and take over the Republican Party. And people concerned with the possibility that we will once and all for all lose our liberty will play a major role in the election of 2010. I think there's going to be a political explosion in 2010, the likes of which we have not seen in my lifetime.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, and I hope and pray that this is what occurs. And you've done a wonderful job. I wish I'd had a teacher like you when I went to college, because I went to a liberal college. I came out a socialist, and it took me a long time to unlearn what I learned.
Your listeners should send their children to Hillsdale College, where I teach.
Amen.
Which is a wonderful school, let me say.
All right. Well, I certainly concur. We'll have to get you back again.
Okay.
Soon, but we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks very much for being
with
us.
Thank you very much.
And I really always enjoy when we have a Paul Ray as a guest. And certainly what you have heard is one of the most profound hours that you will hear for a long time. So we appreciate Dr. Ray's being with us. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and certainly one of the things you could do to help us would be to buy a case of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And we're making a pre-publication offer. As you know, we've done this before. Ordinarily, the book sells for $12.95 a copy. And so, if you got 10 copies, it'd be $129. Well, almost $130. But basically, you can get 60 copies for $149.95. And, of course, you can sell them. You can give them away. You can do what you want to. But for $149.95 plus shipping, you can get a case of the books. And this is a very effective weapon because it will help you to convince others what's going on. And so they can understand not only the philosophical but the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. Because nothing going on today would be happening if there weren't powerful spiritual forces aligned against freedom that have seized control of the American government and want to use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about a third world war and enslave the world under a ruling elite. But they also want to create a new world religion. So the book, if you haven't read it, you need to get it. If you don't have the money, go up on my webpage at radioliberty.com and simply scroll down to videos and scroll down videos to Brotherhood of Darkness. You can hear the original talk from which the book came. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the case of the books. You will not be billed until such time as we have the subscription filled and we're getting people ordering the cases of the book. We need a lot more. So please give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to sell them, why will you have our permission to do it? I mean, to get a table at the flea market, talk it up. You've got something to sell. But, of course, we need to get the word out about the Brotherhood of Darkness, because that's the title of the book. And there really is a Brotherhood of Darkness, and the story is set up against the backdrop of Agatha Christie's wonderful book, The Murder on the Orient Express. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand the swine flu scam. You need to get our 4-CD set on the swine flu epidemic, our 4-CD set on Vaccine Update 2009, Senator Dr. David Abe's excellent DVD on mercury autism, and the Global Vaccine Program, and Russell Blaylock's Vaccines and Brain Development.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind our listeners that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully they'll be the views of Mr. James Wasserman for the next hour, who's written extensively on the occult architecture of our nation's capital. And, of course, it's written from the point of view of somebody who's very sympathetic with the mysterious forces working behind the scenes. So, certainly until he's available, I will be glad to take your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But we want you to understand that certainly that there's been renewed interest in the architecture of our nation's capital because of the recent book by Dan Brown. And Dan Brown has written extensively a wonderful thriller. Now, I don't necessarily agree with Dan Brown's conclusions, but there is so much fascinating information in his book. And, of course, he points out the background of the Masonic movement and their influence starting at the time America was created, and not only on the forms of our government, but also upon the actual architecture of our nation's capital. So we were contacted by Mr. Wasserman's publisher and asked if we'd like to have him on again, and we jumped at the point. Mr. Wasserman, thank you very much for being with us again.
How are you, Dr. Monteith? Nice to speak to you again.
I'm doing just fine. Have you had a chance to read Dan Brown's book, The Lost Symbol?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I actually liked that book better, in fact, than his previous two.
All right. Well, now, of course, they're all exciting, you know, mystery thrillers, and there's The Chase, and there's all of the things that go into a good book that keeps you as a cliffhanger. But why did you like this one better? In other words, did you feel that it had more to do with, of course, the esoteric forces that were behind the formation of the country?
I felt that in this book, Dan Brown made some peace with the concept of a higher power and, you know, a spiritual force. I was very disturbed by his portrayal of the Catholic Church in the other books. and the whole idea of organized religion. Obviously, we all know that organized religion has a great many sins, and it's not rocket science to point out the bad things that religion, you know, is guilty of having committed. But on the other hand, it's an organized force for good and for better human behavior. And I think that he just went a little bit, I think he went so negative against the church in both Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code that, you know, he left a bad taste, at least in my mouth. I'm hardly Catholic, but I just felt that he went a little overboard. On the other hand, in this book, he seems to have been genuinely moved by the Masonic mysteries of Washington, D.C., and the spiritual forces that are being symbolized in our nation's architecture and symbol system. And that, to me, was just remarkable. He actually seemed to participate in an emotional way. The very last scene of the book, you know, has him experiencing a measure of hope. And that's something that Robert Langdon has, in my opinion, has not had before. He's always the outsider.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Mr. James Wasserman right here at Radio Liberty.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
During World War II, millions suddenly found their lives in peril. One of those, 11-year-old Harold Gordon, as recounted in his book, The Last Sunrise, faced Auschwitz's horrors. This is Elizabeth Border from GCN's The Divided Kingdom, heard at 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday, on WWCR, 5.070 MHz, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central, Friday, 7 p.m. Central. Once, Harold Gordon's life was spared by bartering gold. Lou Blanchard and I bought gold and silver from Midas Resources years before we became GCN radio hosts. We like the fact that unlike some radio offers that hold the gold for you, Ted Anderson's Midas Resources sends it right to your front door. Lou and I hope you'll protect your family with even a few gold coins. Call 1-800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237.
There is growing evidence that Americans would have better health and a lower incidence of cancer and fibrocystic disease of the breast if they consumed more iodine. Nutriodine iodine is formulated to work with your body to help to stimulate proper hormonal balance and can assist in detoxification from fluoride, bromide, and chloride toxins and helps provide protection from radioactive iodine from nuclear fallout. Nutriodine is made with a proprietary high-energy field from pure crystalline iodine. Nutriodine should be used by all ages every day. If you suffer from chronic fatigue, low thyroid, and mitochondria function, or if you just want to feel better from day to day, Nutriodine drops are for you. There are several forms of iodine. Nutriodine is the only trusted source. Available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com. Your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. James Wasserman, who's written a book on the architecture of Washington, D.C. And again, about the spiritual forces behind that architecture, which already is influencing what's going on today. And Mr. Wasserman, we seem to be having a problem. I'm going to ask if you'll hang up, and we'll have our secretary call you right back. Hang on here. So I'm going to hang up and ask our producer to call Mr. Wasserman back. We seem to be having a little trouble from time to time with that. Well, anyway, certainly we're talking about the architecture of our nation's capital. And, of course, Mr. Wasserman, we've had him on before. He would recognize the strong Masonic influence in Washington, D.C. I don't know whether he's a member of the Brotherhood, but he's certainly very favorable to their ideas. But he talks about, as you go look at the architecture of Washington, D.C., you come to realize that there really are mysteries there. There are hidden mysteries. In fact, everything that Dan Brown writes about is the fact that there were mystery religions. There was a mystery, and there were secrets that were passed down for centuries since the inception of time. Mr. Wasserman, I was just talking about Dan Brown's reference to the mystery religions and the fact that there were secrets that were passed down within the structure of the Masonic religion for centuries. And, of course, supposedly they're all coming to a culmination today. At least that's the theory of the book, and I really believe that that is true. I believe we're living in the most exciting and revealing times in history, but I think also very dangerous times for those who do not recognize what's going on. But Dan Brown repeatedly refers to the mystery religions. What were the mystery religions, and why is their philosophy so important in America today?
Well, the mystery religions are religions, let's put it this way, they're knowledge systems that exist outside of a specific set of dogmas. They're spiritual doctrines that are universal in their truth, so that they don't depend on either one religion or one limited specific set of beliefs. They're universal, and they apply to, they are at the basis of all religions. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, the Vedic religions, they all share certain generalized truth, and that truth is what was the province of the mystery religions. So that truth also does not change over time. It's an eternal truth. And that's the kind of truth that is represented, I believe, in the architecture and symbolism that runs throughout Washington, D.C.
And, of course, Dan Brown's book, The Lost Symbol, keeps referring to this secret that's been passed down through the ages. And, of course, as you get into it, you find out that there's a blind, older 33rd degree Mason who says to Robert Langdon, you're looking at things from a scientific point of view, from a material point of view, from something that you can sense point of view, without recognizing the spiritual component that there really are sort of invisible forces that can transform things through the power of the mind. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, sure. And those are the very forces that are invoked in the design of Washington, D.C. You know, at least they sure seem to be. And we know that the Masonic component of the architects, artists, and symbolists behind the architecture and statuary that we see throughout the city, we're very tuned into that universal truth, that invisible, the presence of the invisible forces upon Earth. And again, the beauty of it is that you don't need a specific religious doctrine, so that for a country like America, which is, you know, the melting pot, the home of all humankind, These truths are equally available to every one of us and not exclusive to any one of us. So it's a remarkably, if you will, Catholic doctrine in the sense of Catholic in the sense of universal.
Well, of course, so one of the points that Dan Brown makes is the fact that he talks about the Institute, this Noetic Institute, that where Catherine Solomon, she's the heroine of the book, is actually able to influence matter with the power of her mind. And of course, this is the point that the elderly blind mason is making, these basically, I believe, an Anglican bishop or an Episcopalian bishop. And he keeps talking about this power that is there. And Dan Brown, of course, at one point is asked by Matt Lauer. And those of you who did not hear Matt Lauer's interview with Dan Brown, it's well worthwhile. If there's any way you can possibly get it, I believe the transcript of it is up on the Internet. Somebody sent it to me. And it really, you should read it through very, very carefully. Because at one point, Matt Lauer has been talking about the Institute of Noetic Science, which is up in Petaluma, where they actually study these supernatural forces that are at work in the world today. And Matt Lauer says to Dan Brown, how does this work? I mean, how can you have things there that outside the realm of the material world that can influence matter? And Dan Brown, of course, professed that he didn't know. Now, certainly mentioned elsewhere that one of his favorite books was written by Manly P. Hall. And Manly P. Hall, of course, had written a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Probably a book that has given me more insight into what's going on behind the scenes, and I'm sure Mr. Wassman is a bit, you're certainly aware of the teachings of Manly P. Hall, but how would you have answered that question? I don't think Dan Brown was being forthright at all when he said, oh, shucks, I have no idea. I mean, how you're able to influence matter with your mind, and I really believe he does know, but he did not want to bring this out. Did you have that same feeling? Did you see the interview?
No, Dr. Monteith, I did not see the interview, and I think I'm going to join your listenership and look for the transcript online.
All right, fine. Well, if I were to ask you, how is it possible to alter matter with your mind? How would you answer that? Because, of course, Dan Brown, I thought, was disingenuous when he said, I have no idea. I think he has the idea, but he did not want, of course, to bring this out on public television. But how would you answer that question? How can we, we see a stone, it's a stone. I mean, how can that stone be transformed into something else? How can the human mind alter matter? Is there a supernatural realm that you can tap into?
Well, I think we share all elements in common with all other elements. And I think that there is a vibratory pitch which each material object in the universe resonates to. And I think that the human being is peculiarly gifted by the ability to achieve different vibratory pitches that can influence other things, other forms of matter. And I think that the reason people are held to be the crown of creation is because we share that essence with God in a certain sense, that we can so alter our energy field that we can influence the world around us. And hopefully, people who train themselves and who are, so inclined will do so in a positive manner. And then, of course, there are other people who work in the negative. And I think that Brown illustrates both in The Lost Symbol very specifically the adept that he brings up as the anti-hero or the villain of the novel is definitely working with the dark forces, whereas the Langdon finds himself allied with the people who are trying to influence matter and the world in a positive way.
And of course, the fear is that the wicked villain is going to be able to get the secret knowledge and use it to really become the ruler. And of course, the CIA is involved, and they fear, of course, that the entire structure of our world could be destroyed that night if they weren't able to intercept Langdon and keep him from giving the secret knowledge. And there is secret knowledge, and they fear he'll give the secret knowledge to the arch villain who has been plotting for years on obtaining this. It is a cliff-hanging novel here, just and Dan Brown does a wonderful job if you like an adventure story. Now, but there is tremendous information in here about the hidden architecture of our nation's capital, about the influence of masonry on our nation. Certainly the House of the Temple is there. It's very real. This is where the Masons, the 33rd degree Masons, meet on a regular basis and of course carry out their strange and secret ceremonies.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
comfort food is the food you turn to when you've had a bad day. It's also the first thing you want when it's time to celebrate. eFoods Direct just finished developing our new Nutraversal Foods. Close your eyes and taste our creamy three-cheese blend macaroni and cheese, and you'll swear you're eating fresh pasta in downtown Italy. Dig into our chili with cornmeal dumplings, and you'll feel like a wealthy Texan. Or sip a cup of warm potato cheddar soup and be soothed on a cold, rainy day. Nutraversal Foods from eFoods Direct, your new comfort food. Incredible taste, easy to prepare, and a long shelf life. Nutraversal Foods, more fun while hunting and fishing, bigger tales around the campfire, and the food your kids will want when celebrating the win of a ball game. And if it's this great during the good times, imagine how reassuring it will be if times get tough. Nutraversal Foods by eFoods Direct, your new comfort food. eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. Visit eFoodsDirect.com or call 1-800-409-5633.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about Dan Brown's book, The Lost Symbol. And certainly, Mr. Wasserman was saying that there is a secret knowledge out there, but most people don't understand the secret knowledge. There is a mystery, a secret out there that really is little known, that most Masons really don't understand the secrets of Masonry. I mean, they're good people. They're there to do good, and it's lots of fun to be a Mason. And certainly with the shrine hospitals that they operated at one time did a magnificent job of helping children, and certainly this was a very worthwhile thing to do. And yet, of course, the Masonic influence has been there since America was founded, and very, very few people really understand its purpose, its goal, or the secret knowledge which is there. And Mr. Wasserman made the point that most Christians really don't understand Christianity. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, yeah, that's what I think, that there is a very great mystery within Christianity, and certainly there is within Masonry, but the influence, the real mystery that I'm interested in us talking about and thinking about is the great mystery that is at the beating heart of America, because I think that is the great mystery that somehow or other reached out and touched Robert Langdon in the book The Lost Symbol. I think that somehow or other, Dan Brown experienced had a transcendent experience, and at the heart of that transcendent experience was the mystical symbology of the American Republic. And that, to me, was one of the most hopeful books that I've read in quite some time about the possibility that that the degradation that we see in America these days may well be on its way toward a kind of healing experience. At least I hope so.
Well, I certainly hope so as well, because America is the only hope for the survival of civilization as we know it today. And there has always been, since the very inception of America, and certainly since the foundation of this republic, this secret knowledge at work. Now, I think there have been many forces there, but there's been this secret force, this secret brotherhood, that was intent upon directing the course of our nation. And of course, that is because the thing that's brought out at in the book that basically, of course, the Masons are trying to save America from this force of organized evil, which is represented by the villain here, and of course the CIA is trying to work with the Masons, but the Masons hold the key to this whole incredible story. Would that be a fair statement?
Right. It certainly is, and this is a really interesting point. I'm actually traveling to Israel next week to do some research on my next book, which is a book on the Temple of Solomon. And I was talking to a friend today, and I said that somehow Israel and America have an allied destiny, and that somehow you know, Israel is the represents the birth of the Western culture and Western civilization. It's the birthplace of Judaism and the birthplace of Christianity. And somehow in America, you know, you might consider us the height of Western civilization and the the greatest flowering of all of the ideals that have been born of Judaism and Christianity. And both of these are under attack today by the very same people, which is the collectivists who are represented either by the, you know, the fundamentalist Muslim world or by the political left, you know, and both of those groups, oddly enough, are seeking the same goal, which is the destruction of both Israel and America.
Yeah, I think that is really very, very true. I mean, if you go to Washington, D.C., and you look at the magnificent buildings there, I mean, they're designed after the Parthenon in Athens, the Parthenon, and after the great architecture of Greece, after the great architecture of Rome. And you go there to visit those countries and look at their architecture and look at our, the buildings in Washington, D.C. You'll see the similarities. The pillars, of course, the the great monument, but also the statues. The statues are so very important. We'll be right back in just a moment.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927? That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Times are tough, and many of us expect them to get worse. The warning signs have been everywhere for a very long time. Therefore, you have no excuse not to be prepared. If another Great Depression strikes America, how will you excuse your lack of preparation to your loved ones? There are numerous places you can buy freeze-dried food. PatriotFood.com is different because our dried food supplies are not sold in fancy tin cans. Our 25 varieties of bulk food are packaged in heavy-duty food-grade plastic bags that will last 10 years. While our competition charges $3,000, we ship to you 135 pounds of great bulk food supplies for a fraction of that. Our company is owned by a famous patriot, Big John Lipscomb. I know you can trust him. He's my dad. PatriotFood.com is the wise choice for food insurance.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. James Wasserman, who's written about the architecture, almost the hidden architecture of our nation's capital, because most people don't understand the significance of so many of the statues, the signs of the zodiac, the alignment of the streets to coincide with the celestial architecture, and certainly all of these things play an important part, in the foundation of our nation and certain beliefs that were carried on behind the scenes, the secret knowledge, the mystery, the ultimate purpose that Manly P. Hall wrote about in his book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, the Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, the secret knowledge of all ages. And, of course, we think these books are very important. And, of course, most people have probably never heard of Manly P. Hall, and yet Dan Brown said that he thought that the Lost Secret, what's the exact title of that theme? Anyway, it was Dan Brown, but it was Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Knowledge of All Ages. Very important, and we do carry these books because certainly people want to read them now. How can people get to your website, Mr. Wasserman? How could people get copies of your book?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The Secrets of Masonic Washington is the name of the book. It's called A Guidebook to Signs, Symbols, and Ceremonies at the Origin of America's Capital. Certainly it is available on Amazon right now. It's all over Barnes & Noble in something called The World of Dan Brown. It's a table display that includes several of my books, actually, and it will be up, I believe, until the first week of November. And, of course, my website is studio31.com, and I have, if people are interested, I'm happy to sign copies and send them signed copies of the book. I have credit card processing, PayPal, all of that stuff. We were talking, or you were saying, will God continue to bless America? And what is, the real message hidden at the root of America? And that's something I think that you and I have talked about before, and I think it's the most important issue that is at the universal core of all of the mystery schools. And I believe what that is, is the sacred nature of the individual. Thomas Jefferson, no one, I think, in the history of either religion or philosophy ever defined it better, that, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And that talks about a bonding between the celestial world of God in the heavens and the direct physical world of politics and nation and capital. And I think that we've said before when we've spoken that these secrets are on full display in the very architecture of the Capitol. We have a zodiac. What does the zodiac really mean to the initiate? It means that there's a relationship between heaven and earth, between God and man. And I think that God will continue to bless America so long as Americans continue to love God. And the minute that we as a nation turn our back to the Lord and start worshiping the false idols of politicians and artificial security, I think that's the moment God will turn his back on us. And I think right now we're getting a pretty fair test and a pretty good insight into the wrong way of doing things.
Well, I think that we're going to be, this next year is going to be a fascinating year, as I think that a lot of people are waking up, but they don't know what they're waking up to. And, of course, I disagree with some of Brown's conclusions, but I think the material he puts out about the history of America, the influence of Freemasonry, is something that really needs to be brought out, because I don't think the average individual really understands. I believe there's been a conscious, organized, orchestrated effort to conceal the truth from the American people. And I think whether you like Dan Brown or not, he has done a magnificent job of dramatizing in this book. I study better than any other book I've read, because you have to have something to get people to read it. And I bet this book will sell, 20 or 30 million copies.
Oh, absolutely. And, the other a similar thing is these National Treasure movies, which also, I think, celebrate the uniqueness of the American experiment. And, I remember seeing them. The first one was my daughter, who at that time was quite young, and my wife and I were just so happy that it was kind of a clean and wholesome movie with a good message and a great deal of excitement and, a great deal of wisdom. It was, they painted the founding fathers as the true heroes that they were. I think also another totally unexpected pleasure to me was the John Adams series on HBO, which is also available on DVD. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Dr. Stan, but it's, I think, a 7-part series on John Adams, the founding of the Republic.
I certainly have, and I think it was very, very well done.
Isn't that amazing?
It's one of the best presentations I've really seen, because Adams comes through as a very honest person searching for truth who loves America. And, of course, totally dedicated to it. Imperfect because, we're all imperfect, but I think we'll learn a lot about America, a lot about John Adams, certainly, and revolutionary America, and the writing of our Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. By watching that, I certainly commend that 7-part series, and is available at your local video store on DVDs. So let's get back, of course, to some of the other major messages that are there in Dan Brown's book. And behind all of the excitement and the chases and the other things that are there, is this idea that there is a secret. There is secret knowledge. You can tap into that secret. And, of course, it really gets down to the fact that man can alter nature and material things with his mind. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement. I think another very fair statement is that we'll both recall what it was that was hidden in the cornerstone of the Washington Monument. I don't think I'll reveal any secrets by saying it was a Bible. And it's both the ability to influence the world with our minds and the good, orderly direction to do it with wisdom. Because we are not here to simply manipulate reality. We are here to act as agents of the supreme intelligence and to use our powers to keep that divine plan in motion. That is the true role of the initiate, as I understand it.
But what is the divine plan? Where does the divine plan lead to?
God willing, the divine plan leads to the union of mankind's yearning with the reality of God's being. At least that's where I hope it leads for me.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I think that's vitally important. I think people need to read the book. I think to read it with discernment, understand that what Dan Brown is revealing is that there really is our secrets. There have been mystery religions. They've been here since the inception of mankind. They have had a secret. It has been passed down through the ages. It is passed down, certainly, through all of the secret societies, and, of course, culminating in modern-day Masonry. Most Masons really don't understand this, but there are a few that do, and you have to study, and you have to study very hard. And remember, I've been at this for 47 years, so I can short-circuit a lot of this for you, and you certainly are not going to have to. It's been 47 years to learn, and those who listen to our programs regularly, you know, have grasped what this is really all about. And then, of course, they'll be able to pick up and go on from there. And when I'm not here, I'll begin to explain to others, generations yet unborn, what this is really all about. And, of course, the story, of course, centers around this effort to prevent the evil person from gaining the power to take over, wants to take over control of the world. But, of course, he, as all villains, of course, meets his due rewards. But, of course, against the backdrop of adventure, you can hardly wait to turn the next page to read the next chapter. I believe we can commend Dan Brown for putting information that really needs to be known into a very readable form. Would you agree with that?
I do, and again, I'll say much more than the earlier two books, The Da Vinci Code and The Angels and Demons. Here, I think he has really given us something that is truly, truly valuable, and you know, I applaud him this time. This is a good book. I think it's worth reading, you know, for all of our readers. I was so stunned, Dr. Stan, when I opened the book up and I saw the quote from Manly Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I said, oh, my goodness, we are in for a treat.
And of course, that quotation is, you know, to be in the world and not understand the world is like being at a great library and not being able to touch the books. That's a paraphrase, but that's in essence what it says.
Absolutely, and the fact that he immediately said to us that he had read Manly P. Hall, and I said, oh my goodness, this is going to be fun, and it was.
And everyone who wants to understand the mysteries has to read Manly P. Hall, and certainly go to his library there in Southern California. Still exists the Philosophical Research Society, and of course it's there, and it still has all Manly P. Hall's books, or at least most of them. A few of them I know are at a college up north of here, and some of his personal books, but so much of it is still gathered there. And people have to understand he was given unlimited funds, you know, certainly in the 1930s, a fortune, I think $100,000 a year, to travel the world in search of the esoteric books. And even Franklin Roosevelt, the President of the United States, had a team to copy these books because he, of course, was deeply involved with the esoteric studies as well, as have been so many of our presidents and leaders. And certainly Vice President Henry Wallace was involved in this study of the occult. Would that be a fair statement?
Sure, and Roosevelt and Wallace were the people who were responsible for popularizing the Great Seal on the $1 bill.
Now, what is the significance of the Great Seal on the back of the dollar bill, which, of course, people say it's a Masonic symbol. Well, it's used by the Masons, but certainly it dates back thousands of years, long before Masonry even existed as such.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the pyramid, of course, is the symbol of the three-dimensional world. You know, and the unfinished, the uncapped pyramid is a symbol of the necessity to complete the great work, and the eye in the triangle, you know, is a clear recognition of the eye of God. You know, which is the capstone that will eventually cap that pyramid when they are joined. But it involves raising the material to the spiritual.
And of course, you know, most of us when we went to college, we learned about alchemy. Alchemy was the desire to turn dross or lead into gold. And of course, that was the story for the common people. That was the cover story. But behind every cover story, there's a true story. And do you want to comment on what alchemy really is? It's not simply chaining, lead into gold. Now, it's absurd, but it provided an answer for the common people, but there was a real story behind that. What was the true purpose of alchemy?
Well, again, it's the transformation of the material into the spiritual. If you look at lead, it's a symbol of the darkest, most impure, heaviest of metals, and by transforming that into gold, you're raising it to its most pure vibratory rate. And that's what we were speaking earlier about, the human ability to attune himself with different vibratory rates of matter and to influence that. And by, you know, the symbology of transforming lead into gold, it is making the spiritual ascent from the dross of physical reality, to the glorious kingdom of heaven.
And really, it's the transformation of the individual has nothing to do with dross to gold. That's only the symbology, but the whole idea of transforming the individual into this perfect being that Sydney, advancing, of course, to almost a spiritual godliness or being one with God. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, absolutely. It was what I was trying to say. I mean, the transformation is the alchemist. It's the alchemist himself who is raising himself to the higher planes. And I believe, actually, that there was recorded transformation of lead to gold, but I don't think that was the object. I think that the real object was to transform the alchemist from a creature of desire into a creature of the divine.
And I think that we must understand that there's always a cover story for everything. This is what you learn in philosophy. I remember reading Plato and getting one interpretation. But as you study further, you understand the interpretation you learned in college had nothing to do with the true interpretation. And they were always looking for those who could see beyond the obvious into the truth. Because there is a truth out there, at least according to the esoteric philosophers. And that is, of course, what the secret knowledge is all about. And when you can identify their truth, why, of course, you have an entirely different outlook on the world in which we live.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
When looking at your personal preparedness level, remember the freeze-dry guy. During times of physical and emotional stress like the uncertain times we live in today, it is vital that you not alter your diet too much. You should only store what you usually eat because one day you may have to eat only what you have stored. Lucky for you, there's the freeze-dry guy. Featuring the superior nutrition and taste you've come to expect, the freeze-dry guy has a wide variety of choices in freeze-dried foods. All freeze-dried foods are no-cook products requiring only hot water and a few minutes of your time. The freeze-dry guy has been serving various government agencies as well as the private sector with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. Consider the technological advances made in computers from the punch card days of the 60s and 70s to the high-speed personal computers of today. Comparably, the advances made in food storage from the World War II era till now are equally great. Visit the website at www.freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you again so much for the opportunity of talking to you and addressing your listeners.
God bless. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Mr. James Wasserman, and Mr. Wasserman is coming from a point of view that I don't necessarily agree with, but he's a very nice person, and he's very sincere, and he really feels very strongly about maintaining the freedom of our people. What, of course, this is really all about is there is another dimension there that you can tap into, and you can tap into it with your mind, of course. But what is that dimension? Well, it's the spiritual dimension, and there really are spiritual forces there, and that is, of course, why Dan Brown didn't want to open that suddenly can of worms when, of course, he was on Matt Lauer's program. The best explanation for all of this certainly would be my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, but if you really want to understand it, let me suggest the three DVD series, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and of course there are three parts to it, The Secret Mysteries, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, and The Riddles in Stone, back of the dollar bill, the emblems on the back of the dollar bill. Now, each one of these are a couple of hours long. I think the third one's almost 2¾ hours long. And certainly they will hold you transfixed. They're very professionally done, very well done by our good friend Chris Pinto. And we recommend them to you. You can get them individually or all together at a reduced price. And you need to understand the spiritual forces behind the formation of America. On one hand, you had the Christian influence. Christians who came to this country wanting to create a nation under God. Now, not a theocracy, but a nation where men would believe in God, and of course, we could restrict the power of government. And then there is another group, and until you understand the other group, the Rosicrucians, the followers of Francis Bacon, and if you read, of course, Dan Brown's book, he talks about Francis Bacon and the manuscript of his book, The New Atlantis, but what was that about? Why, it was the secret society, the Rosicrucians, capturing America and using it to bring about the New Atlantis, where all nations would be drawn into this global government under this new reality, and which was, the secret was, you can become God. Now, I disagree with that. I have to rely upon the Bible as the foundation of my beliefs, because without that, I began to become my own God, and that was exactly what the devil told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. If you'll just acquire knowledge, if you'll eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can become as God and you shall never die. And it was a lie. And there really are people who are tapping into this other spiritual dimension. Let me suggest you get my talk on The Forbidden Secret or The Secret Knowledge, the two talks, but they both have the same basic thesis, my talk on The Financial Armageddon, my talk on The Brotherhood of Darkness. All of the things I've mentioned available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That, of course, is the Secret Mystery series of DVDs, my talk on The Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, my talk on The Financial Armageddon. And then, of course, we also suggest that you give serious thought to buying a case of my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you get them at a very good cost. The book ordinarily sells for $12.95. You get a case of them for $149.95, about $250 a book. You can sell them, you can give them away. But as a means